You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. Hello, Dolphin fans. You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily. I'm your host, Steven Masso, on this Wednesday, August 17th. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be going over some of my thoughts from last week's first preseason game of the season. It was a victory for the Dolphins, but as we all know with the preseason, it isn't all necessarily about getting the victory as much as it is about looking at some of these individual performances and kind of the general feel for the team. So I'm going to be going over some of my major takeaways from that game and how that could shake things up as we move forward. So first things first, the Dolphins won that game by a score of 26-24, which is always great to see. Regardless of it being a preseason game, getting the momentum going, the feeling after a win, especially to start the season with a new regime all here in Miami, that's great to see. But one of the major biggest positives away coming away from this game, and I think a lot of people agree, is the performance that we saw from rookie Skylar Thompson in this game. Finished the game going 20 for 28, 218 yards, and one touchdown. Overall, the guy looked extremely impressive as a rookie in this game. He looked composed out there. Sure, there's some areas of his skill set which could improve, but in terms of his demeanor out there, a lot of people are saying that he has that dog in him. I mean, the guy was fun to watch, and at the end of the day, when you're considering what the Dolphins expect from him, I think he fulfilled that expectation and maybe did even more so when it comes to just being a backup quarterback. Of course, the Dolphins in that second spot have Teddy Bridgewater right there, a guy who, in my opinion, is as, you know, solidified or experienced, as good of a second string quarterback as you could want in this league. He's a pretty good guy. But even when Teddy Bridgewater, before he had that freak devastating injury, he was regarded as a game manager. That's a label that he had already developed before that injury. After the injury, what we saw from him was a little bit more of that. He was a game manager, maybe even more so because of his limitations after that injury. So with a guy like Skylar Thompson, entering the picture here, the guy is already 25 years old. Even though he is a rookie, he did look a lot more composed out there. And in a lot of ways, he reminded me of a guy like Colt McCoy, which when you're considering what you want in a backup quarterback, that's not the worst comparison in the world to have. So hopefully he's able to keep this momentum going. I know my colleagues over here at Dolphins Talk were kind of reiterating this point that the Dolphins may have to keep three quarterbacks on the roster, because if you take the chance at letting a guy like Skylar Thompson, based off this performance, try to go to the practice squad, there is another team that could very well likely come in here and pick him up based on that performance. We'll be able to see a little bit more of him moving forward. So let's see if he's able to keep that momentum going. A good performance despite not having much help from the offensive line. He was sacked three times in this game, and also no help from the running game, which kind of leads into my next point. I'm not going to necessarily put too much weight on this. It was the preseason. There were some starters who were not playing in this game. You know, there was no Chase Edmonds. There was no Raheem Mostert. But the running game, something that we kind of expected to look a little bit better under this Mike McDaniel kind of scheme here, was missing in this game, to the extent that quarterback Skylar Thompson had the longest rush of the game on a 21-yard run. And then outside of that, Myles Gaskin had one run that he broke off for 20, but nothing really else was happening for the running game. It was pretty one-dimensional in a lot of ways, eerily similar to the running game that we saw from last season. Again, do I think this will be the case for the team in the regular season? I think it's far too early to say that, but in this game in particular, it was a pretty one-dimensional game. Now, if we move on to the receivers here for the Dolphins, the main guy who impressed in this one was Lynn Bowden Jr., a guy that we hadn't seen on the field for over
for a year. 3 catches, 55 yards. He had a touchdown in this game where he was able to get behind his man. He did a nice little, move on the route to get the defender to bite. Overall, he looked extremely good out there. And whether you're looking at him as somebody who could offer that skill set for the Dolphins, or whether you're looking at somebody, there were the reports circulating just a few weeks ago that the Dolphins would be looking to trade him. Regardless of that, at the end of the day, the guy boosted his value, whether it's for the Dolphins or for another team, which is great for us regardless at the end of the day. Now, when those trade rumors first began involving Lynn Bowen Jr., I was of the mindset that I don't think this guy's going to have a huge market. I don't think there's going to be a lot of teams really giving up a whole lot for Lynn Bowen Jr., but if he can string together another solid performance after this, then it could be likely that a team makes at least somewhat of a decent offer in exchange for him, or maybe he can solidify himself and make the tail end of the roster. That is left to be seen, because this is a pretty stacked unit here for the Miami Dolphins. Another guy who is certainly going to be on the team is the newly acquired Cedric Wilson, who also had a nice little role in this game. 3 catches, 29 yards. The guy looked pretty silky smooth out there. I think his role is going to be kind of just this safety valve, a guy who is dependable and reliable in the receiving game. He may have a big game here or there, but I don't think anybody necessarily needs him to be this absolutely electric dynamic guy when you already have Tyreek Hill, when you already have Jaylen Waddle, when you have Mike Gesicki, all of those guys on the roster. I think all Cedric Wilson needs to do on this team is be somebody who's reliable and maybe have a sneaky big game here and there. But overall, I was impressed from that small sample size that we got to see of Cedric Wilson Jr. Some other guys we saw a little bit of: Trent Sherfield had a big reception for 33 yards down the field. Eric Azukama had 2 catches for 18 yards. One of those was a 14-yard catch where he shrugged off a defender, was able to pick up some extra yards. That's a guy who has been exciting throughout training camp, and a lot of people are very big on him. So, of course, it's always cool to see him get the ball. And then, really, the only strong, super big-name starter that we saw for the Dolphins was a tiny bit on the offensive side of the ball was from Mike Gesicki. 1 catch to start the game for 13 yards. Again, not a big sample size at all. Mike Gesicki's one of those guys that he is a matchup nightmare. Could this be the year for him to truly break out? Who really knows? We know from an athleticism standpoint, it's all there. It's going to depend on whether he can stay on the field and how his usage in the offense ends up working out. Now, if we move over here to the defensive side of the ball, the first thing that really stuck out to me off the rip is if you're watching Jalen Phillips after a very solid rookie season, the guy looked great, and you watched him on that first opening drive, he really did set the tone, I thought, in terms of the amount of pressure that Miami was able to really impose on that Tampa Bay offense, and a lot of that was from Jalen Phillips. I think the guy is primed for an even better second season. I'm very excited about him, and just generally, when it comes to the Dolphins, front right there in terms of their defensive line, I think you have a ton of young talent, guys like Christian Wilkins over there, guys like Raekwon Davis. Of course, Emmanuel Ogba is a guy that we all know has been underrated now for the past 2 years. An exciting little defensive line. But now with that comes something that is a little bit worrying, and that's when we kind of go back and we start talking about the Dolphins linebacker group. There is a reason why many people right now are pointing to the Chicago Bears and saying, hey, Miami, go out there and make a trade for Roquan Smith. And that is because this Dolphins linebacker group right here is lacking some serious star power. When you consider it's a long season, guys are likely going to go down. I mean, if you lose Jerome Baker and the rest of your lineup group, right here for the linebackers is a Landon Roberts, Melvin Ingram, a rookie in Channing Tindall, Andrew Van Ginkle, and Sam Aguavone. You don't necessarily have an absolute star-studded group of guys there. You probably need somebody else. I think Jerome Baker is a guy that he has his hot moments, and he also has some cold moments. I know we've been saying for years now that maybe he's going to take that next step, but at this point, considering that he's a seasoned veteran, I think it's safe to say that we know very well what Jerome Baker is. He's going to have those monster high motor kind of plays. He's going to have those games where he is all over the stat sheet, but there's going to be a lot of individual plays that he is also going to make some pretty big mistakes on and give up. And when it comes to guys like a Landon Roberts, he's going to have those goal line stand moments. He's going to have those big third down stops where he flies through the defensive line, but maybe in pass coverage or other plays, he's going to have those huge, massive mistakes. Sam Aguavone, even though he is a preseason hero, he has that one or two good games throughout the season where he looks like a monster. Can you depend on him throughout the entire course of a season. I'm not necessarily sure about that. And then the last guy here that we're going to talk about, Channing Tindall. He's a rookie. I'm not going to be too concerned over that first game, but I did get the feeling that maybe he had the jitters out there. Maybe he was being a little bit overeager, because the feeling I was going to kind of getting from watching from him was that he was just straight line, first read directly at the ball, which isn't always necessarily the best thing to do. It seemed like he wasn't really analyzing the field at the best way. That will come with time as he gains more experience, but that led to him either over pursuing or being out of place. That one play where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had that little reverse with Geiger and he was able to switch the field, he stopped and it looked like Channing Tindall just completely just lost his footing and he was able to reverse field. So it's stuff like that that I think he'll get better at over time, and when he becomes more composed and recognizes where the right places to be at the field. But in this game, I was getting the feeling that he was a little bit overeager, but I still, I'm excited about the skill set he brings. You got to see his speed, and I think this is just one of those things that we had to look forward to next week and see if he's able to kind of solidify himself a little bit better. Now, as we move on to the secondary, this has been a unit for the Dolphins that has been very top heavy. You have some very big names at the beginning of that depth chart, but as you get further down the depth chart, you really see that there is not that much depth. I think that's more apparent now than ever, because of course you have one of the best, if not the best cornerback in the NFL in Xavien Howard. You have another guy over there like Byron Jones on the opposite side, and then you have a guy like Nick Needham, who I think has been coming along pretty solid for the role the Dolphins want from him. I like what Nick Needham has had to offer recently, so all of that's cool. But then once you get deeper into this cornerback group here, Noah Igbinoghene really struggled in this first preseason game. A lot of guys, a lot of fans at this point are ready to just entirely give up on that, and it's hard to knock him. The guy continues to struggle against guys who are really not that talented, and if you can't trust him at this point in the preseason against some of these lower echelon guys, then do you think you'd be able to trust him in a regular season game against an actual wide receiver too? I don't think that's necessarily ever going to be a situation that happens. Other guys, when you go down here, D'Angelo Ross really struggled in this game. He was getting mossed by several players, and then the Dolphins ended up losing a guy who was having a great training camp in Trill Williams, a guy the Dolphins really loved. He was lost for the season with a knee injury. So the Dolphins elect to bring in here Mackenzie Alexander, who previously played with Minnesota. He is not necessarily this instant plug-in, and you no longer have to worry about the situation. So I still think maybe the Dolphins are going to look at this area as somewhere they could improve, because again, Xavien Howard hasn't necessarily been the healthiest guy throughout his career. Neither has Byron Jones per se. And with most NFL teams now not just having two wide receivers that are pretty significant threats, but now having three, then you need to make sure you have a solid group of guys out there. And throughout the course of a season, again, with guys going down with injuries, can you really trust having a guy like Noah Igbinoghene on the field in those instances? I think the Dolphins need to be looking to see how they can make a bigger move here, either with the linebacker group or with the cornerback position, unless they're going to depend on that offense really just outscoring the other team, which frankly, they have the weapons to do, but that is always a scary move to try to play by. So guys, that is how I'm going to wrap up today's episode. I would love to know what you guys think. Was Skylar Thompson's performance enough that you think they should consider him for that backup quarterback role? Should the Dolphins be keeping three quarterbacks on their roster? Or do you think that was just kind of a fluky performance that maybe we're getting a little bit too excited about? What do you guys think about the Lynn Bowden Jr. situation? Are you thinking of this strictly from the perspective of this guy is boosting his trade value? Or do you think that he should have a chance to leave his mark on the team? And then as we look at the defensive side of the ball here for the Miami Dolphins, how do you feel about the issues I mentioned at the linebacker position and at the cornerback position? Are they overblown? Are there guys you're looking at who the Dolphins should target? I would love to know what you guys think. But that is how I'm going to wrap it up. As always, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can do so. That is at Shady Steven. I do a Dolphins podcast. If you want to check it out, that is at Via The Source on Spotify and on Apple Podcast. And if you haven't already, make sure to follow Dolphins Talk on Twitter. That is at Dolphins Talk. And for all your news about the Miami Dolphins, guys, go to DolphinsTalk.com. Stay updated on everything in regards to the team. It was a pleasure to be your host, though. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso. This was your DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast.
Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.